Chapter 10. Eppy and Aaron. It was a pleasant Sunday morning, 16 years since Silas had found Eppy in his house. People were coming out of the Raveloe church after Sunday prayers. Godfrey, who was the first to come out, hadn't changed much and was still a good-looking man, although he was over 40. Nancy, who had been his wife for many years, was still pretty, but looked older and sadder. Mr. Cass had died, and Godfrey had inherited all his property, including the Red House. He and Nancy were now living there. Silas came out of the church behind Godfrey and Nancy. Silas looked quite old and weak, although he was only about 55 years old. Eppy walked out next to Silas. She was now 18 and had become a beautiful girl. "Father, I wish I had a little garden," Eppy said as she and Silas walked down the path to their house. "I could grow flowers like Mrs. Winthrop does, but I know that it's too much work for you to make one."
"I could help you, Mr. Marner," said a young man who had been walking right behind them. It was Aaron, Dolly Winthrop's son.
"I've got time in the early morning before I go to work in the garden at the Red House. I can ask Mr. Godfrey for some earth."
"Oh, Aaron, I didn't see you," said Silas to the young man. "If you help me, we can certainly make a garden for Eppy."
"But, Father, you must promise me not to do any of the hard work," said Eppy. "You can help me plant flowers after Aaron brings the earth."
"I would like to plant some lavender, but I don't know where to get it."
"There's a lot of lavender in the garden at the Red House," said Aaron. "I'll bring some for you to plant."
"I don't want to ask Mr. Godfrey for anything more," said Silas worriedly. "He's been very good to us all these years. He's given us money to make the house larger, and also furniture, and many other things."
"It won't be a problem," Aaron explained. "There are always extra plants at the Red House. This is a good way to use them. Now I have to say goodbye. Mother will wonder where I am."
"Aaron, come back this afternoon and bring your mother with you," said Eppy. "I'd like her to help me plan the garden."
Aaron agreed to this and walked away in the direction of his house. When Eppy and Silas were alone, Eppy put her arms round Silas and kissed him happily.
"When I've got a garden, I won't want anything else in my life," she said with a laugh. "And I knew Aaron would help us," she added.
Silas looked at her, and his face showed all his love for her.
"So, you planned the entire thing, my little one," he said with a smile. "But you know, if Aaron does something for you, he'll expect you to do something for him."
"No, he won't," Eppy said. "He likes doing things for me."
They arrived at their house and went in. A small brown dog ran to them and jumped excitedly round them. A fat, grey cat was sitting quietly in a corner. The house looked very different from the way it had looked 16 years before. It was clean and full of good furniture. Godfrey had sent them all this furniture from the Red House.
"Silas has done an extraordinary thing, raising an orphan and being both father and mother to her," the people of the village said to each other. "Especially because he lost all his money and has only got the money he earns from his weaving. And he weaves less now because he's getting older. Mr. Godfrey has been very good to Silas, but it's only right that rich people like Mr. Godfrey helped Silas."
Eppy now served lunch, and she and Silas ate their food. Then, while Eppy was washing the dishes, Silas went outside into the sunshine to smoke his pipe. He'd been smoking for 2 years, but he didn't really enjoy it. The village doctor had told him that smoking might prevent his fits. Silas had changed a lot,
and now he was always ready to accept advice from other people, especially because it was now given with kindness and respect. Silas had accepted all the customs and beliefs of Ravelo because he knew they were good for Epi. Slowly, he had also permitted himself to remember his past life in Lantern Yard. A few years before, when Epi was still a little girl, Silas had begun talking to Dolly Winthrop about his experiences.
"It's difficult for me to talk about what happened to me, Mrs. Winthrop," Silas had said. "I have never talked to anyone about that time, but now I feel that I want to."
Silas told Dolly that the community in Lantern Yard believed that he had stolen the money which belonged to the church. "The worst thing was that it was my closest friend William who accused me," he said sadly. "Everyone believed him, and nobody defended me."
"He was a bad man, Mr. Marner," Dolly said to him. "I don't understand why such a terrible thing happened to you. But I still believe that there's good in this world, too."
Now that Epi was an adult, Silas often talked to her about the past. He had told her a long time ago about how her mother had died in the snow, and how he had found her, his daughter, in the house. Epi asked repeatedly to hear this story. She was very curious about her mother, but she never wondered who her father was. It seemed that it was enough for her to have Silas as a father. On this Sunday afternoon, after church, as Silas sat smoking his pipe, Epi came out of the house and looked around her.
"Father, my mother died near that rose bush. When we've got our new garden, I want to put that bush in it," Epi said a little sadly.
"That's a good idea," said Silas. "It's got such pretty yellow flowers. But you know, when the garden is finished, we'll have to put a fence around it to keep out the animals."
Epi thought for a minute, and then said,
"A stone wall will be even better. There are so many stones here."
She walked over to the big pond, which was very near the house.
"Oh, Father, come and look," she called to Silas. "The water's gone down in the pond. 2 days ago it was full, and today it's half empty."
Silas came and stood near her.
"Yes, I was told that Mr. Godfrey gave orders to take all the water out of it. He wants to raise cows here. You know, all this land belongs to him," he said to Epi.
Silas and Epi went back and sat by the door of the house. After a few minutes, Epi asked quietly,
"If I get married, should I wear the wedding ring which you found on my mother's finger?"
"Epi," Silas asked quietly, "are you thinking of marriage?"
"Only since last week, when Aaron spoke to me about it," Epi answered.
"What did Aaron say?" asked Silas.
"He said that he'd like to be married. He's nearly 24 years old, and he's got a good job," said Epi very seriously.
"Who does he want to marry?" asked Silas.
"Me, of course," laughed Epi. "How could he want to marry anyone else?"
"And I suppose you want to marry him," Silas said.
"Yes, but I don't know when," Epi said. "Aaron says that everybody gets married. But I told him that's not true. You never got married."
"You're right. Until you came to me, I was all alone," Silas agreed.
"Well, you won't ever be alone again, Father," Epi said lovingly. "Aaron knows that I'll never leave you. He's already told me that the three of us will live together, and that he'll be like a son to you. You won't have to work any more. We know that it's getting hard for you."
"Is that what you really want?" asked Silas.
"I'd prefer that nothing changed, that we could just continue as we are. But Aaron wants a change, and he says that if I love him, I'll marry him.
"And I really love him, Father," said Eppie.
"My dear child," Silas said quietly, "you're still so young. But one thing is clear. Things change, whether we like it or not. I'm getting old and weak. I'm very happy that Aaron will be here to take care of you. But we must ask his mother, Dolly, what she thinks about you two getting married. She's always got good advice, and she'll know what's the best for you both."
"Aaron and Dolly are coming," said Eppie excitedly. "Let's go and meet them."
She and Silas stood up and walked down the path towards Dolly and Aaron.